Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's open up our Bibles, please, to Matthew 28. About a week ago, I had started sharing on the topic, God the Father. How many were not here when I began that? Can I see your hands? Okay. Well, let me ask it this way. How many were here? Can I see your hands? Okay, it's about half and half. I'm going to do a review, and reviews are good for those who heard it previously because it just makes it more real. I was sharing the fact that it's very interesting that we know God and we know Jesus. We're familiar with the Holy Spirit, but very few are teaching and dwelling on the ministry of God the Father. And the term of God the Father, you have pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. You have Christology, which is the study of Christ. There's a term, paterology. Paterology, P-A-T-E-R-O-L-G-Y. That very few Christians have even heard of because it's not taught much at all. Bible schools and seminaries don't even have this course. It's only a handful of Bible schools and seminaries that deal on the topic, study of the person and the work of God the Father. Now, the other day, I had done this previously, but I wanted to give a more update. I Googled Christology. And how many hits? There were 2,430,000 hits. 2 million. Pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit, 353,000. You see the drop. I put in paterology, 3,170 hits. Are y'all seeing? And all of those, after several pages, that term ceased. So that's not even accurate. It's so rare. Why is it? And I began to ask this question. Why is it that there are so many that do not teach on the ministry of God the Father? And so I started this long study on the Trinity. And the word Father means originator, founder, author, source. It means originator, author, founder, source. Now, I'm going to go slow and methodical because it's not a topic that you hear a lot about. And if you're taking notes, I really encourage you to. Just like it says, founding our founding fathers, the fathers who founded our church fathers. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name." Now, notice it doesn't say name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit. Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one name. For God. God in three persons. God is the formal name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the intimate personal name. You have unbelievers, when they get awards and everything, I thank God. Well, that's that's distance. I mean, what God are you talking about, first of all? But how many of you here say, "I thank the Heavenly Father"? You hear sometimes, "I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." But until the body of Christ, now here's the key, until the body of Christ reaches a place where the emphasis is just as much on the Father as is the Son, as is the Holy Spirit, I don't believe the church is going to mature like Ephesians 4 talks about until full man. Because this name, Father, Son, and Spirit, is how God introduces himself to his children and to the world. That's like me going up to someone and they ask my name, and I say, "My name is Dexter Leon Wingfield. I prefer Dexter, for the record." And that person says, I don't like that name. Let's call you James Stewart Martin." And I'm like, "Well, that's not how I just introduced myself." "Well, that's not, I prefer this name. I think I will remember this more if I just change your name and gave you this new name." Now, how many know that's not good? Well, it's amazing to me how God has said his full name, but we're only saying his middle name, Jesus. Isn't it interesting that for the most part, not always, but for the most part, you have three names. First name, middle name, last name. You think that's a coincidence? What I like to do is to get our thinking more in line with the Trinity. God, a triune God. Turn to Matthew 4. Verse 15, but Jesus answered and said to him, this is talking to John the Baptist when at the baptism, "Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. He allowed John to baptize. I'm sorry, Matthew 4. Matthew 3. Say again. Yeah, I was wrong. Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed John to baptize him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is probably the most profound experience in the Bible that shows all three working as one together. Working together. Everything that God does, listen closely, every single thing God does is a Trinitarian act. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, the Trinity, all three persons are at work. We may not see all or identify it as that, but they work together in every single thing that's done. Jesus' life on this earth, he states that I do nothing unless I see or hear my Father do it. Now think about that. Jesus is not the beginning point. The Father is considered the first person of the Trinity. Not because he's above them, because all three are equal. But as in rank, as far as roles, he's first in roles in the way they operate and work together. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Theologians say that God begat Jesus, God and Jesus is where the Holy Spirit proceeds from. So God is, the Father is always first because he initiates everything. The Father initiates, originates everything. The enemy is trying to keep this message from going forth. Number one, because when we begin to see how important the Father is, his role, everything else proceeds from that. And we begin to see God in his fullness as he has introduced himself to us. Like I said before, Jesus, I'll put it this way. The Trinity's presence in the Bible reveals the role of the Father as preeminent. The role of the Father is preeminent, which means first and before. The Trinitarian presence in the Bible reveals the role of the Father as preeminent. He has a preeminent role. The Son role is a prominent role. Prominent means standing out so as to be seen. Now we understand why the emphasis on Jesus is more than the Father and the Spirit is because he was seen. Y'all following this? That explains it. I shared the analogy last time of an author who writes a book and he wants to turn it into a movie. And he gets a famous actor to portray the main character in that movie. And the producer puts up the money so it can be seen. Out of the author or screenwriter, the actor, and the producer, which one always gets the most attention? The actor. Why? He's the one that's seen. So prominent, standing out as to be seen easily, noticeable. The Spirit's role is pervasive. He's everywhere. Pervasive means widespread, wide occurrence. So when we get all three, and the emphasis is on all three, it adds a dimension to your life that you cannot explain. It's beyond comprehension. Because why? You are actually beginning to see God as he has revealed himself. When you don't emphasize the Father, there's a facet in our lives that are not strengthened. When you have all three emphasized as one, you begin to see there's a lot of edification that comes to your life. A lot of enlightenment of the scriptures come to your life. A lot of enablement for you to do what God has called you to do. I mean, a lot of enjoyment. You can go on and on. Why? Because you begin to see God in his fullness as he has presented himself. The entire story of the Bible, listen closely because I don't want you to misquote me again, is not just about Jesus. Jesus is not the primary character in the Bible. The triune God is the primary character in the Bible. The Father came up with a plan to fulfill his eternal purpose of revealing himself. Now think about this. He had to come up with this wise plan that was going to show that he is one God in three persons. Think about that. But why did God have to do it that way? That's who he is. He's a God in three persons. Just because we can't understand it and can't explain it doesn't mean that he should change who he is so we can understand him. That's just who he is. So he comes up with this plan And at the zenith of this plan, the incarnation is the zenith of his plan to reveal himself as God in three persons. Because remember, at the very eons way before time began, way before creation, Father, Son, and Spirit were fellowshipping, enjoying one another, and they were invisible. Jesus is the only one that had a body to become visible to us. And he chose to do that and stay in this form throughout eternity. Think about that. Turn to John 16. I'm letting you think. That's why I'm going super slow. John 16:22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I see you again. I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no more will take. Joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, this is Jesus saying this. But most Christians pray, Jesus, can you give this to me in Jesus' name? Y'all see that? Very simple. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth begotten. Begotten, that's what came forth means. I came forth from who? And have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to who? The Father is first. I cannot overemphasize this. Most Christians see Jesus coming to the earth not only in his full attributes doing all these miracles, but they see him doing all this in his own accord. The true mastermind of everything is the Father, and Jesus is just acting out what his Father told him to do. And the Holy Spirit anoints him and is enabling him to do it. Remember, Jesus laid all his privileges of using his attributes down when he came to earth. That's what Philippians 2. So his whole script, the whole time he talked, he just repeated what he heard his father say. The whole time. He said, I do nothing unless I hear or see my father do it. So who's the true mastermind? The Father. And then Jesus did all his miracles by the anointing of the Holy Spirit from his baptism. You see, all this was working together. He could do nothing apart from hearing from the Father or being empowered by the Spirit the whole 3.5 years. But yet and still, we, you know, make movies, and Jesus is doing all this on his own, by himself. Go to John 3. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Who is the first person we think of when we hear John 3:16? Unconsciously. Most people read it like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. They don't even see the Father in this verse. They see God, but it's the Father. You can go through scriptures, you can go through the whole New Testament and reread it with your God the Father glasses on, and you will be amazed how much he was emphasized. But we twist it because we saw Jesus. We're familiar with Jesus. We grew up with Jesus. Jesus, a little baby. Oh, you so sweet. Oh, he's growing. Look at him doing the miracles. Ephesians 2. I'm going to start saying a book that was from Ephesus. Ephesians 2, verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and to those who are near. Verse 18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus is the mediator. Here's a major principle in the Bible. The Father speaks and acts through the Son by his Spirit. Now, we're talking about the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelations. This is a principle. The Father speaks and acts through the Son. or you could say his son, by the Spirit or his Spirit. Another major principle, prayer is directed to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Now, we're not saying you can't commune with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We can't talk. And I'm just saying, Jesus told us to pray to the Father in his name. One thing I'm going to continue to keep saying throughout the entire teaching. The triune God is the subject, the main character of the entire Bible. The Lord's Prayer is another example of what is so obvious that it's about the Father, but it's called the Lord's Prayer. It could easily be said it's the Lord's Prayer to his Father or to the Father. But this is another example of how we have glasses that we can only see Jesus. Y'all understand? You understand my heart. I'm not saying don't see Jesus. I'm saying that a lot of things in the Bible are obviously about the Father, but we can only see Jesus. And it's so interesting. The Father sent Jesus into the earth. Why? To reveal the Father. How many times did Jesus say, he sent me to reveal him, to make him known? He and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything that God does, who is a triune God, is a collaboration. That's collaboration, for you note takers. It's a collaboration. It's a working together of the persons of the Trinity. Collaboration means to work jointly with others, to work together with them, to produce or to create a thing. One church father said that whenever I see one, I think of the other two. Whenever he saw one in the scriptures, he had trained his mind to think of the other two, and what part did they play in that story or in that passage? And that's what I've been endeavoring to do. In the Old Testament, when it said God, is basically talking about the Father. But he was just known as God because he was the God of Israel. But it's amazing when you get to the New Testament I started training myself every time I see God, I thought of the Father. Not just God like in the Old Testament, the Father. And there are so many scriptures that talk about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. But yet we're still with Jesus. My goal in this teaching is whenever you hear one of the persons, you automatically think of the other two. That's my goal. And I believe that's God's heart. And once you start seeing and viewing things that way, it just adds a whole nother spectrum to your life. One day I'll be able to explain it. Now I'm gonna go down some principles that assist you into seeing that whatever God does, all three are involved. Now, I know this is like a seminary class and, you know, all this, but I hope you're listening and you're soaking this in, because, you know, I don't intend to have you running around the building on this. This is think time. Okay, here's an example. The Father is the source of all things. Put it this way. Put across your paper, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go through all these, but this is how I have it. And I go across. The Father's the source, the Son sacrifices, the Spirit supplies. You see what I'm doing? I'm trying to get you to see that they work together in so many ways. The Father is the source of all things, the Son has sacrificed all things, and the Holy Spirit supplies us with all things. How many following? The Father starts. The Son symbolizes, especially in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit secures. The Father authors, the Son acts, or is the actor, and the Holy Spirit applies it. This really helped me a lot on how one does not act independently of the other two. They each have a role in whatever is done. The Father establishes it. The Son is the one who embodies it. He had a body. And the Spirit extends it out to everybody else. Extends. The Father initiates. The the Son implements. Y'all seeing this? And the Holy Spirit imparts it to us. The Father determines everything, the plan, the purpose. The Son is the one that declares it. And the Holy Spirit delivers it to everybody. Any questions so far, or do I need to go over? The Father designed it. The Son is the one who does it. And the Holy Spirit demonstrates it. I don't know how many I'm gonna do. It's a lot. This is over years of studying it. The Father reveals the purpose, the plan. The Son redeems, and the Spirit regenerates us into believers. The Father authorizes it. The Son accomplishes it. And the Holy Spirit affirms it. Now, I took a lot of time listening to God for these alliterations now. That was a joke. Affirms. The Father causes it. He causes everything. The Son complements, works with it. The Spirit of God consummates it. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's very important, and it's kind of life-changing, too. If you read any story in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, seek to find out how the Father was involved, how the Son was involved, and how the Spirit was involved. It's not going to be obvious, and it's probably not in every story, but it's in way more stories than we think. That's a third of those. I'm going to stop now. I don't want y'all to get tired of writing. One does not do anything without the other two involved. That is mind-blowing. Any questions? Any comments? Can someone add to this? Or are you seeing this? I'm telling you, it will change your whole Christianity. No questions? No comments? Did y'all understand it? Maybe you and them. I know, that's why I'm stopping.
No. Great stuff, brother. And when you started talking, that really helped simplify.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to really see how the three are one and work together.
Yeah.
So, great job.
And just think, you know, most Christians haven't been taught this. And, you know, I can't overemphasize, when you begin to see this, you begin to see God in such a bigger light. That everything that he does, the entire Godhead is involved. When he created, he initiated. The word was spoken, which is the Son, and the Spirit hovered over the earth. I mean, you can go through all the stories of the Bible, and it's just amazing. Y'all thinking, aren't you? I'm going to stop there because that's a lot of information. I just continue it. No questions, huh? Let's all stand.